Line, Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And it is good to be back in the saddle. Had a nice week off, had a nice family vacation.
She's back. Mm-hmm.
But
she's back.
Happy to be back. D. Mace, Willie D., happy Monday.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Monday to everybody out there. If your brackets, I'm sure a lot of you.
Toast.
You know.
I'm done.
Busted. Brackets are busted big time, and rightfully so. It should be.
That's March.
That's March Madness. You should know going into
Welcome
your.
Welcome to March.
Everybody goes into it thinking, yes, this is the bracket that's going to win. And by the first
night
yeah. or two, it's like.
Kentucky.
Oh, man, my bracket is busted.
And I always love
Baylor,
it whenever.
Baylor sunk me yesterday. Kentucky, the 1-2 punch. Kentucky on Thursday and then Baylor. Mm-hmm. That's like Baylor stunk it out for 35 minutes and then tried to make a run. Come on. What the heck?
They weren't listening
Killing
to you,
me.
Willie.
I always love it every year whenever people in their brackets try to predict the Cinderellas and the massive upsets and they think that they're doing something really smart, trying to outsmart everybody. Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, Fairleigh Dickinson Purdue 2.0. Like, I know that there's going to be some no-name school that nobody's ever heard of and you wonder if it's even really a real school or if it's like Bishop Sycamore that made up high school that played football like, on ESPN. And it's like, this team's definitely going to upset the onesie and then they lose like by 35 points and it's like, ah, you outsmarted yourself there.
By the way, the Bishop Sycamore, whatever that was they did, 30 for 30 or whatever they did, that is worth watching for
sure. It's a quality
absolutely
watch.
Crazy what happened there. But we are also talking about this guy in your bracket pool that goes around saying that they had the upset. Yeah, I had Yale. I had. And you find
like,
out.
No, you didn't.
Well, nobody maybe you Yale. Did, but you filled out like 7 or 8 brackets. And that was the one that you had.
Your
the
chaos
one.
Bracket.
Like, you got all of them right somewhere on one of the 6 or 7 brackets that you filled out, but you're not winning your bracket pool.
Or like that one friend that everybody has that just picks based off of the cutest colors or the best mascots.
I have family members
like,
that do that.
How is your bracket the most successful one? You filled it
and
out.
And I'm losing to them.
Favorite color.
I'm losing to them this year. I lost to them last year. I finished last year. This is killing me.
It has been absolute madness over the last week, and the madness continued this past weekend. We'll continue to get into all of that. Rick Barnes making it past Texas. Good for Rick.
It was tough there for a minute.
Ooh. Good for Rick. So we will get it. It was ugly.
That was not easy.
Ugly.
1 for 21 at one point from three.
And 3 for 25 from three total at the end of the game?
Well, they hit a couple late, which they needed.
So it's better to be 3 for 25 than
1 for 25. Yeah, they needed all three of those three. Uh-huh. I mean, but 1 for 21, it was getting like, you know, tense, tight, the tension. You're like, ooh.
It's not how many you hit, is when you hit them.
They did hit two.
They hit
those were
shots
too big
when they needed to.
Yes. And they're also lucky that Asmus, or is that how you say it? The weirdest thing sounds completely different than it's spelled. Mm-hmm. What in the world was that shot he took out of the corner? It's the dumbest shot I think I've ever seen by a guy just saying, oh, yeah, I got this. I got it like a fadeaway running into the corner. Almost ended up with the cheerleaders and the band by the time he releases it.
These guys.
That's the shot you get. It's not like it was 1 second left and you had to shoot it. He's got plenty of time. What are you doing?
These guys want to be on the reel. One shiny moment. They want to be on that reel.
He didn't make the reel on that shot. That's not going to make the reel.
That doesn't make the reel. So
everyone wants to be the Oakland kid who
exactly.
now has a million different NIL deals.
We had so much fun about that kid the other day, the Kentucky fans.
Oh, yeah.
Having nightmares about that
Kentucky
guy.
Fans.
10 threes?
I went off on Kentucky fans. Well, not Kentucky fans, but just Kentucky, period.
And he did come back with, 6 or 7 in the next game. And they had a good chance. They almost pulled it off again. Mm-hmm. He maybe needed one more. I thought, if this kid hits one more, this guy is going to be a household name.
And that is going to be his
forever.
Fun fact for the rest of it. Whatever he does, whether he becomes an accountant or an insurance salesman or whatever he does.
That's all they're going to talk about in the office.
Life, that's going to be his fun fact. Like, did you know he hit the most threes in NCAA tournament history?
What did it feel like? What did it feel like?
That was picked to win it all.
And you could have gone right down the street and watched him play Trevecca for about 3 straight years, which he did. He played 4 years in Trevecca's conference, Division II. He's 24 years old. And he sets the record. He's got the record for most threes in the first 2 games of a tournament.
Yeah. Unreal. Opportunity missed.
The 3-point shot It throws everything into a frenzy.
Makes the game better.
Depending on who you are.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. It depends on if you're on the receiving end of it or not. You mentioned going off on Kentucky fans or just Kentucky in general.
Yeah.
I've been biting my tongue for far too long because, my goodness, I was off the air all last week. I see Kentucky lose. It's yet another shortcoming from that Kentucky team. So we'll get into all of our thoughts from March Madness here shortly.
Oh, yeah. We do have to ask before we get started. We did have some fun last week at your expense. Nick, this was funny. Taking the vacation during that week, we were thinking, everybody's on vacation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, basically.
Nobody's working when these games are like, so the tactical move of taking the vacation, we were like, you better have had a lot of fun, because we had a lot of fun.
Great time.
Okay.
Well,
I will say, it was not the week, I did not decide the week, it was my parents' anniversary trip. It was their 34th wedding anniversary, so congratulations to my parents. So they usually go on a trip every year to celebrate their anniversary. My sister and I just happened to crash, so it was, they decided this date 34 years ago, which just kind of perfectly aligned with March Madness.
So they weren't thinking March Madness.
Not
34 years ago. Nobody was thinking.
In hindsight, they really should have been thinking about that. But at least they didn't have a fall wedding. They didn't get in the middle of all of the football frenzy. But it was actually, we had a boat day one day, and I'm floating in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I'm snorkeling. I had a beer in my hand. I look at my watch. It's 11:30 local time, which would have been 1:30 here. And I was like, haha, suckers. I would have been on the air right now, but I'm floating in the ocean and I'm getting a tan. So I had a lot of fun.
Elliot made that point. We asked, Elliot's like, where's Caroline? And we were like, well, she's on vacation. We're like, it's March Madness vacation. You know, we got a lot going on. He was like, she's a lot smarter than you guys, so I'm sure she's having a good time.
Work smarter,
he's
not
He's like,
harder.
I'm from Canada. We don't get to go to the beach very often. I'm always for heading
beach
to
time.
The beach. Yeah.
And in July,
heading to the water.
But everyone else is on vacation, and I'm enjoying all of my Mount Rushmore topics.
There you go.
And I'm going.
They'll be there for you.
They will be there. So joke's on you. Hope you enjoy the beach in July. All right, we'll get into everything that I missed last week, but I'm happy to be back. And I always get, like, the nerves, anticipatory FOMO, if you will, whenever I take off, because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if something big happens? Like, I remember one day I took off last year, and that happened to be the day that the Cardinals cut DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, all of the storylines, my goodness. Of course, DeAndre Hopkins ultimately ends up with the Titans. So I had anticipatory FOMO of a full week during free agency, during March Madness. What in the world am I going to miss? What am I going to be biting my fingernails about not being able to get on the radio and talk about for that full week? But I think that the universe heard that, and they said, you know what, we'll save the good news for you until Friday night so that everyone else can react on the same day. And, of course, that good news was the Titans trading for cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. We've been talking about L'Jarius Sneed for weeks and weeks, and it seemed like it was going to happen. It seemed like there was way too much smoke for there not to be fire. And then the conversations kind of fizzled out a little bit, that what the Chiefs wanted, the Titans weren't willing to give, that, you know, the contract conversations just weren't going to work out. L'Jarius Sneed wanted the term and the money. Nobody else was willing to give it to him. So I just kind of accepted the fact that L'Jarius Sneed was going to be a Kansas City Chief. And then the news came out Friday night that the Titans traded a 2025 third and a swap of seventh round picks this year for cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. Shocked at the compensation, but first and foremost, overall reaction to the Titans trading for L'Jarius Sneed and the very little that they gave up to get him.
Well, I think it was a good move. You know, free agency is about patience. If you're trying to build the team the right way and try to minimize your, you know, failures in a sense, because you know, when free agency starts, all we heard was, what are the Titans doing? They need to spend the money. And it's like, chill for a second. It just, I mean, it really hadn't even started. You know, it was 2 days prior to free agency, and everybody was screaming about the Titans aren't doing anything. And again, I think, you know, at least this show, it was like, just because you have the money don't mean you need to spend it all in one day. Don't let the money burn a hole in your pocket, okay? That's what my mom used to tell me. Hey, listen, don't spend it all in one place, because you're going to go to the next place. You're going to be wanting something, and you ain't going to have no more money because you bought it all at the convenience store right there or whatnot. And that's what Rand and this coaching staff and this department is doing. You know, that's what they were doing at the beginning. Listen, we are going to get the pieces that we need, but we're not going to be the first ones to jump out there. We're getting people that we know will fit our team. Every high-priced, you know, great player doesn't fit your team. You got to find the right guy or the right guys to fit the team that you're trying to build. And I think systematically they have been able to do that. They've addressed certain areas that they needed to address. And now this is sort of the after the Calvin Ridley sign, which was a big signing, and then you come back with another, you know, big signing in Ladarius Snead. You're filling holes on a team with veteran guys at positions that you need them. DB, you need a veteran guy. Well, you got two of them.
Veteran, but also not too They're, old.
Yeah, too old. And they still can right. play. Now, Ladarius Snead, I mean, we got to see because, yes, there was some, you know, speculations of him not practicing as much mm-hmm. because of injury, knee Moving injury, and whatnot. So we just got to – we hope that it was more precautionary than anything else. But Rand and the staff and the coaching staff, they have not – I'm not going to say filled holes, but they have placed people – they've had holes. They placed people there for the time being, for the next 2 to 3 years. At just about every position that we were screaming other than the left tackle. Now, we know they'll do the left tackle. You know, we assume they're doing it during the draft, left tackle. But they address the
center. And if they don't center, do it in exactly. the draft, I don't know where they're going to find it.
Yeah, they address the center position. They address the wide receiver position. They address the defensive back position. They address the linebacker position. They haven't addressed the safety position just yet. Not to say they will not, but they addressed some spots on the team that needed to be addressed. And now what you do is you supplement, you get everything else now, hopefully within the draft. But then you got another round of free agencies, which will happen. Guys will get cut June 1st. It happens in every NFL year. Guys get cut June 1st. Guys got cut the other day that people were like didn't realize, like, man, they cut him. Why? Well, it was because of money. It's going to happen again June 1st so you can continue to build your team. I like what they're doing now, but like Ozzie said, you don't win championships in May, in June. You win them August, September, October, November, December. What Rand is putting together and what the staff is putting together seems like something good, but we got to see it once it gets on the field.
I have mixed feelings. I definitely think that for the third rounder next year, that's not a bad price to pay for a really good player like this.
That's a steal.
Well, we'll find out if it's a steal.
I mean, based upon his play in Kansas City and what the Titans had to give up, that's a damn steal.
And what we thought it was
exactly.
going to be. Tim said he thought it was going to be a first-round pick.
That was a steal.
I think it's a reasonable price to pay. Now, here are the questions I have. He's going to make as much as any corner in the game. Is he the best corner in the game?
You don't have to be the best corner. It's just when your contract is up. You don't have to be the best.
But
as long as you're a top five, as long as you're a top five, top ten corner.
He was a great corner last year.
Mm-hmm.
His first 3 years, I'd never heard of Ladarius Snead. And if you look at the numbers, he wasn't as good, right? He was a good corner. Had you ever heard of Ladarius Snead really before this past year? Like, he has made a lot of money in the way he played last year.
Yeah.
How long Spags been there?
Pretty long, right?
Spags been in Kansas City, what, 3 years, 2 years? He hadn't been there that long because he was – where was he at before? He was with the Giants or somebody else before? I'm just trying to get that.
That's a good point. That's another question I have, okay? So he's changing addresses. He's changing defenses. This is a brand-new defense. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have maybe the same supporting cast, different defensive coordinator. There's a lot of variables there that make me wonder, okay, so how is he going to be used? Again, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. He has got to be great to be – forget about the third-round pick. That's one thing.
Yeah,
The money they're going to pay him, he's got to be great. And I think there's a lot – I've seen a lot of free agency things – go wrong, and this is a trade, not a free agency. I just wonder. And I also, all along, have been saying the same thing, and that is, I think the big money ads like this should be the icing on your cake and not your cake. And I think right now they got a lot of icing, top-heavy guys that they've just picked up. This all looks great. But the cake is flimsy right now. There's still not a lot of underlying depth on the roster, and that's just a concern I have. They've made themselves better, for sure, but I still think, is this the thing that's going to put them over the top? No, there's still a long, long way to go for this. So this has got to work for a long time. I still wonder, is he that good? And for the Chiefs to say, we'll let this guy go, says a lot to me.
That is...
Says a lot to me.
That's the question that I have. I mean, yes, from the Titans' perspective, there's a steal, a third-round pick next year. When that was even brought up, I believe it was some ESPN article, when it was even brought up that could have been the compensation, I laughed. I thought, you are crazy. If Kansas City is going to let their one of what is regarded as one of the best corners in the league for a third-round pick next year, are you crazy? But that's what it took, essentially, in a swap of sevens. But, like, that's nothing.
Yeah.
So, why?
Yeah, so we're the other 30 teams or whatever, I'm sure some of them are like, we're good, whatever, we don't have the money. But were there other teams calling and saying, yeah, well, I mean, they had to take what they could take. So, obviously, that was the best offer that the Chiefs had.
Well, it's the same thing with Justin Fields. The longer you try to hold on to the guy, the less you will get once you have to trade him away. Had they, just like Fields, had they traded Fields early enough before they even decided, okay, Caleb Williams, they probably would have got more from Pittsburgh had they traded him early. Now everybody knows, hell, you're drafting Caleb Williams. You can keep him if you want to, but right now this is what we're going to give you because we know that you're not going to get above this anywhere else. It's the same with Ladarius Sneed. It's like the longer you held on, people knew like either you're going to keep him or you're going to take what we're giving you. That's basically what it is. We'll give you what we deem is fair market value, but we're not giving you second and first round picks, especially not this year. Why? Because either you're gonna lose them either way. You're gonna lose them next year, or you're gonna lose them this year. Now next year you lose them, you ain't getting no compensation whatsoever. You trade them away this year, you'll get some compensation. Third round pick, that's good. But the longer they held on to him, they knew the value was going to go down. And they didn't want to have to pay him the 20-something million that he was going to be wanting.
I think the difference between the Justin Fields situation is everybody and their mother knows that Chicago's taking Caleb Williams. Everybody knows that Chicago needed to trade away Justin Fields. If the Kansas City Chiefs wanted to hold on to Ladarius Sneed this season, they could have. Like,
oh,
if
they
the third-round pick
yeah.
next year wasn't enough— They didn't have to trade him.
But they were going
to
lose him.
But losing him for a third-round pick next year, I know it's more than nothing.
But it's a third-round pick. But they get the money instead of the franchise take. They could take that franchise tag money. What is it for a corner?
20, I think it's 20
it's
or 19.
19.7, I believe.
19.7, okay, yeah. So let's say $20 million just to make it a round number. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're sitting there going, okay, can we live without Sneed? And can we take that $20 million and spread it around and fill a couple other holes with guys who get cut on June 1st and bargain guys? Or, you know, are we better? Do we have a better chance of three-peating that way? And we don't have anything on the hook past that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it becomes a money game as well as how bad do we need this one player? And he does play a very important position, right? The corners are hard. It's not like this is a middle, you know, an inside linebacker or a guard or something like that. They're a little easier to replace. That's the thing. Like I'm mixed on this. I'm a little skeptical that this is the move for the Titans at this time because clearly the Chiefs have made the decision that as good as he is, they can live without him.
Because if I'm the Chiefs, I would feel that way too. I have Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones.
Yeah,
we traded away Tyreek Hill and we won a Super Bowl.
And they
after
made
that.
The big decision. They probably in their inner circle said,
the
do
big
we keep
fish
Jones?
Is Chris Jones.
Do we keep Jones or do we keep Sneed? We keep Jones.
Yeah.
I think they easily made that decision. Yeah.
Probably
right?
the right move for the Kansas City Chiefs as far as they were concerned. So if I'm the Chiefs, I could see it from that perspective of, look, We'll pick up a third-round pick next year. Is it a super sexy return? No, it's not. But we can win a Super Bowl either way, with Snead or without Snead. That could be the way that they feel. Or they might think, like, look, there are just way too many red flags with L'Jarius Snead. We either don't think he's very good or we're too concerned about the injury, so we'll just take what we can get for him. I think the bet, and I don't know what the case was. I don't know what the conversations were behind closed doors in Kansas City. I think it would be better for the Titans, as far as the Titans are concerned, if the Chiefs look at it and say, look, we got Patrick Mahomes, we got Chris Jones. That's really all we feel like we need in order to go back to back to back, in order to three-peat. But that's kind of what I want to get into coming up next, is some of the concerns about L'Jarius Snead. I think it was a huge pickup for the Titans, especially considering what they had to give up, or rather the lack of what they had to give up in order to get L'Jarius Snead, to get an experienced player, a good player at a position of need. And it comes at a cost. They're going to have to pay him. But how concerned are we about some of the injury concerns, about some of the knee issues that we've been hearing about? We'll get into that coming up next. And of course, we'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Off and rolling here. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D. Mays, for broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. We are getting your thoughts on the Titans L'Jarius Snead trade. TD will join us at 1 p.m., so we'll get TD's thoughts and reaction, what they're getting in L'Jarius Snead, what the Titans gave up, or the lack of what they gave up in order to get L'Jarius Snead and the contract. We'll get into all of that with TD in just over 1 hour. But now, your thoughts. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Austin Texan says, I love the trade right now because it's been a very long time since this team has had a solid cornerback room. Now, the knee does concern me, but he did play banged up and played well. Does anyone really know what the knee issue is? Hearing about the knee is really bad is one thing, but what's the issue for it to be really bad? I don't know exactly. I didn't see the MRI.
Yeah.
I didn't consult with the doctors. That's what the Titans are doing with their physical. If it was bad enough to keep him out of practice, it was bad enough, but it wasn't bad enough to keep him out of games, and that's where you earned a paycheck.
Yeah, and listen, after doing the evaluation, his physical, unless it's something that is that egregious where they just got to void the trade, then we will never hear what exactly was wrong with this knee. Because why should they release it? If he passes physical, then okay. Now, again, does it flare up from time to time? I saw guys like that, mm-hmm. In practice. They're fine, during games. They can go. But then Monday morning, it's like, okay, my knee flared up. So I'm going to take Monday off, which is off really anyway, with the exception of running. I got Tuesday off, and then come back Wednesday. I may have to take Wednesday off to just kind of get myself. I'm going to do some running, but I'm not going to practice. By Thursday, the knee is fine. Now I can go. Now, if it's one of those issues, then, yeah, you got to monitor it. You just got to monitor it because you never know when that knee is going to flare up. I've seen guys get, CCs taken out of, this liquid taken out of their knee with these big, long, needles, on a Monday. And then they practice Wednesday or Thursday, and they're good during the game, but then they got to start that recycle. But that was a much older player, and you don't want to get into the habit of doing that because, obviously, you do that too many times. You're weakening the knee. I mean, I'm sure.
You're not going to have much knee juice left.
Absolutely. you don't want to have to keep on.
You need knee juice.
No, but you don't want to have to keep on doing that each and every week. And some guys had to. Guys that I play with, they were older guys, but they had to get that done just about every week. You hope that's not the issue. But, I mean, this is something you got to cross the T's, dot the I's. And if it doesn't look right, then you void the contract or you void the trade. But I don't think – I pray it's nothing like that where it voids trade, because if it voids the trade, then he may not be playing football, period, because Kansas City's not going to sign him, mm-hmm. If he can't pass the physical. So I'm sure he'll be able to pass the physical and the determination.
I doubt it's going to get to
that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's based off of me knowing nothing about mm-hmm. his medical history. But if it wasn't bad enough for him to stay off the field consistently last season, he played 16 games, mm-hmm. then how can it all of a sudden be so bad that he fails a physical. So I'm not concerned about that until we have to be.
Exactly.
Caleb in Gallatin texts in and says, I thought it was interesting with Robbie and Joe this morning that with the moves that they are making inside the building, they might be thinking that Levis is the franchise guy. I don't think anyone saw this coming, what the Titans have done in free agency. I don't know what the Titans think, if Will Levis is the franchise guy or not, but I think that the Titans have to do everything in their power to figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if Will Levis is the franchise guy. Like, do you?
I don't know. I've seen some good. I've seen some not so good rookie stuff. So it's like
behind a horrendous offensive line with not a ton of pass catchers.
We don't know.
And a hot and cold defense.
It's still a question mark.
Probably still a question mark for them. Mm-hmm. But you have to figure it out, and you have to put talent around him to figure it out.
And that's why I can justify very easily the moves that they've made mm-hmm. offensively with Ridley, with the Cushenberry, the center.
Pollock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that security blanket, trying to give him the best surrounding cast to mm-hmm. bring out the best in him is important, especially because I would like to see the difference between a second-round pick and a first-round pick as far as that first contract and how much guaranteed money. I mean, I'm looking at Spot Rack. Will Levis takes up almost nothing mm-hmm. on your salary cap. Yeah. I mean, almost nothing. Like, I don't know what a first-round pick does, but it's got to be a little bit more than that. Like, they are really in a position to take the money that they've been spending at the quarterback position the last few years with Tannehill. It's, like, striking. Like, I'm still getting used to it myself. Like, I'm thinking, God, they got to be running out of money. But they're not, because they've gone from paying $35 million plus mm-hmm. to basically the league minimum for a rookie. So that helps. That gives you that extra cash to spend. Again, my thing is, when you're taking a guy like that from one place to another, I still don't know if it's you can just assume that he's going to come over and be that good for that price in a new situation. That's the gamble you're taking. And how much difference is he making?
And that's Denard Wilson's job, to make sure that there isn't a massive slip in play, that there isn't a dip in what he was able to do for the Chiefs last season versus what he's able to do for you this season. Now, that doesn't cover up all of the warts that you have on the defensive line. Like, that is still very much so a position that needs to be addressed. You need to be able to get to the passer in order for that cornerback room, however good it might look on paper right now, in order for them to do their jobs. Your job's not done. It's not even close to being done. But you are checking boxes that needed to be checked at this point in free agency. And Rand Carthon gets a whole hell of a lot of credit for that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. All right, coming up next, I was proved wrong, and I'm so glad that I was. And I am so happy that I was, because I am so happy for Rick Barnes. And we'll get into that coming up next. All things March Madness, Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, TD in 1 hour, 1025-1063 The Game.
And I will say that I didn't maybe know this and didn't view it through this lens really until this weekend when I started talking to people. His knee is a far bigger issue than people know that it is. Far bigger issue than people think. That's why if it was me and I was advising L'Jarius Sneed, if he came to me and was like, what should I do? Take the money. It might not be all you want, but take the money. And there have been really strong offers on the table for L'Jarius Sneed that he has turned down in his desire to be the highest paid corner in the National Football League. I know he hasn't missed a significant amount of time with the knee injury. His knees are in worse shape than you think they are. They're like, oh, no, it's not that bad. It's bad.
That was Carrington Harrison on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. So we heard there from Carrington Harrison, look, L'Jarius Sneed's needs might be a bigger issue or bigger concern than we all initially thought. L'Jarius Sneed missed 12 training camp practices last season. There was all but 1 week last season that he was listed on the injury report. Mm-hmm. L'Jarius Sneed did play 16 games last year.
Yeah.
So he missed a lot of practice, didn't miss a lot of games. He played the most defensive snaps of any Kansas City Chief last season. What's our concern level of the knees that reportedly might be worse than we expect, or worse than we thought, rather?
To me, okay, why didn't he practice? Because it's just being thrown out. He hadn't practiced. Well, we can say that about some guys here that they didn't practice. Why? Well, the coach held him out of practice. You know, when you're a veteran guy or you have been dealing with injuries, they hold you out of practice to try to minimize, you know, the wear and tear on your body during the week, especially during the end of the season. Now, training camp, you know, guys get days off. Veteran guys get days off. Starters get days off. So I want to know, did he get the day off because of his knees were hurting, or did Andy say, you know what, take the day off? You know, don't want to put the, you know, the stress and the pounding on your body. Take the day off. Along with you, Chris Jones, and along with you and you and you, Mahomes, you got out. How many times was that the reason why?
We're not going to know.
Exactly. We will really know. So I'm not, as long as he hasn't missed big chunks of games, you just better, he played the most snaps of any Kansas City Chiefs last year on defense. That tells me something, that, yeah, he may not have practiced during a week in training camp, but damn it, when they needed him in the game, he was more than available each and every time. I know he missed two games, but for the most part, he played 98% of the games throughout the season, and he played the most snaps. So I am not, unless it comes out that, yeah, he missed those practices because of his knee, like we specifically held him out because his knee had flared up, then that's a different story. But if it was, okay, his knee flared up one time, another time he just needed to rest, coach said, all y'all take day off during camp, I'm not too concerned about that. If it's more than that, then yes. But obviously I think the Titans did their due diligence. They vetted this, and you can never be 100% on a player in injury, but they felt that the risk, the reward was higher than what the risk may have sort of been with him sitting out for those practices during camp. So they probably saw the upside of him playing is better than, you know, him may missing a game or two, you know, during the season.
And
or
the official trade is pending a physical.
Yeah.
Right. So that would be my question, yeah, is that they're going to get a chance to look at him, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to go through the physical. So if he passes the physical, I think you have your answer. Yeah. Although any player, if you're going to spend that much money, which you're going to invest heavily in this guy, mm-hmm, that's one thing that you really can't control to a large degree. You can only go by what's happened before. If there's questions, I guess where there's smoke, there's fire. You can, mm-hmm, subscribe to that if you want. I have no idea. He hasn't missed a ton of time in games, so mm-hmm, that's what makes me feel a little bit better about it. But I don't. You got to believe in the person, and you've got to believe that he can be productive for a while. He's only 27, mm-hmm, so you have your answer on what they believe, right? Unless they see something they weren't aware of when they go through this physical, right?
You're talking about practice? Practice? That's what we're talking about? Practice? Well, I mean, he played.
We were
he
told
played
a lot.
Game.
We were told that yeah, Julio Jones doesn't practice, uh-huh, and he didn't practice. Yeah. And he didn't play.
But we were told
DeAndre Hopkins didn't practice. He practiced a lot and played
and
every
played.
Game.
So my thing is, so, with Ladarius Sneed, do I want him to practice? Obviously, I do. In 2007, you know how many times I practice, literally? You know how many times I practice after, like, week 4 or 5? I practice one day a week.
You were also a 10-year vet at
week.
That point.
No, I get that, but I practice one day a week. But it was because of injury. Mm-hmm. It was because of injury. I ended up breaking my scapula. So they wanted to hold me out. I could have practiced more, but they wanted to hold me out of practice. Listen, we only need you one day a week, third down or red zone. We need you for that. But everything else, come out there, know what you're doing. We trust that once you get in the game, you'll be fine. And I was fine. So I'm sure if indeed he was missing practice because of the knee, they were confident that it's not a problem, but we want to make sure it doesn't become a problem. So we're going to hold him out, but we know he's going to be available for games. That's all we care about, you know. Yeah, we want you on the practice field, but the fans are not seeing – they don't care about practice. They care about availability during the game.
That's the most important thing.
Exactly. And he's been available. So unless something comes up with the physical, I'm not too concerned right now. But I guess we're all concerned about injury, period. But when it comes to him, not really.
And when you're talking about guaranteeing $55 million, mm-hmm, over the next 4 years, then you're going to nitpick even the smallest of things. And you are going to look into anything that has kept you off the field, whether that's in a game or in practice. Mm-hmm. To say that you're not concerned at all, no problem whatsoever about L'Jarius Sneed and his knees, I think would be probably overly optimistic, because if it was bad enough to keep him off the practice field, and if there's enough conversation behind the scenes that it's even a topic of conversation, then of course it's going to be a concern. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't rear its ugly head this season, well, what about 3 years from now when you're still paying him $20 million a year? Is it going to cut his career short? Is it going to become more of a problem this upcoming season? Of course that's a concern of mine. But I think the crux of the thing is that going to not keep me up at night. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that he played 16 games last year, yeah, and over 90% of the defensive snaps. That really is the most important thing. If the knee was an issue, that maybe if he played in 16 games, but he had to look to, you know, he's out in the second half, he was on the field, he was off the field, kind of the issues that we saw with A.J. Brown in his mm-hmm. last year as a Titan was, yeah, he played in the games, but he was off and on and off and on, and it was a knee thing with A.J.
I think so.
If that was the case, then yeah, that would be more of a concern for me. He played 91% of the defensive snaps. So it's not a massive concern to me, because he still finds a way to play on Sundays. Mm-hmm. That he played all four playoff games. That he played more snaps than any other defensive player on that team. That's the most important thing to me. And if you had to hold him out of practice, or if he was limited in practice throughout the week and in training camp in order for him to be a go on Sunday, then that's what you have to do. It's still going to be a lingering concern for me. It's still going to be one of those things that I think we have to monitor, just because it is a thing, but it's not enough of a thing for me to say, that was a horrible move. Now, I will think it's interesting whenever we start to get more breakdown of L'Jarius Sneed's contract of how many injury stipulations are in there. Because the $55 million has reported to be guaranteed, but is it fully guaranteed? Is all of that $55 million guaranteed? Are there injury stipulations? Are there clauses in there of how many games he plays or how many snaps he plays? That will be interesting to me. But overall, I'm not losing sleep over it.
I would doubt that a player would sign a contract based upon my availability on the field. That I would tell no, don't sign that, because there's not 100%. The 100% is you're going to get injured. That's 100%. You're going to get injured, hurt, whatever, and it may cause you to not be on the field 5 plays, 10 plays, a quarter, a half, maybe a game or two. So I'm not signing a contract that says, well, you get this money if you play this many snaps. Like, it's guaranteed then if you play. No, guarantee my money. That's all I want. I'm going to play. Injury
well,
is
not
a,
all contracts it, are fully guaranteed.
Injury is a part of the game. It's going to happen. I'm sure that maybe it's incentives in there, that if you play X amount of games, but it has nothing to do, you know, if you play X amount of snaps, then you get this. If you play X amount of games, then you get this. It's not necessarily tied to an injury per se. It's just tied to the percentages of plays. They hope that he doesn't have to play like he played in Kansas City, 90-some percent of the of the snaps, because you want him to be able to take a break. So why I say that is, it's because you want to be winning games to where you can take out your players and sit them for a while. You know, take them out the last 5 minutes of the game because you got the game, you're ahead 14-21 points. So your defensive guy doesn't need to play.
But the Titans also don't want to put themselves in a position where they're fully guaranteeing money even if a player is hurt.
Well, the fully guaranteed, it's if you pass a physical, then it's fully guaranteed. It's not tied to how many games you play or don't play. If you pass the physical the next following year, then you're guaranteed X amount. You're guaranteed that money. Now, if you don't pass the physical, my theme just fell. My light.
This is a recurring thing.
It's a recurring
since you've
thing.
Been gone,
yes.
Caroline. So
see,
get you.
I leave, and
everything
place.
Goes
everything
to hell.
Goes to hell. Yep, that's what's happening.
But no, what
one
I was
vacation. My goodness.
But what I was saying is that, you know, a lot. If you have those in your contract, is usually if you pass a physical the league year. Like, if you can pass a physical that next year, then you are guaranteed X amount of dollars. If you don't pass it, then obviously we got a problem here. But it's not tied to, well, if you only play 12 games, then you're not guaranteed X amount of dollars. No, I missed 3 games at the beginning of the season. Then I played the rest of the season. So now because I missed the three, now I can't get my money. If I pass the physical, an exit physical, and then a physical starting back the same year, then I should be guaranteed my money.
And that's why I want to see the breakdown of the contract. Mm-hmm. The 55 guaranteed. What kind of guarantees are there? Are they fully guaranteed? Is it not? That's I'm just saying, I would like to know what the breakdown of the contract is. But I want to get your thoughts on this. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam is on the line with a thought on L'Jarius Sneed. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline, welcome back. Hey, this is weird. Hey, so Tom. I feel like people trying to poke holes in this are like straight haters here. Like, if you look across the league, he was like one of the most valued guys coming out. And also, like, the Chiefs wanted to keep him. They just couldn't figure out a way to do it. You either got to pick between one great player.
Well, if they wanted to keep him, they would have found out a way to keep him.
They absolutely could have kept him. Yeah, it's like Jared said, and he says 98% of things incorrectly, but you could find a way to manipulate the cap. That's right. That's absolutely a thing. So the way I look at it is, the Titans have so many pieces, like problems, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that you had to figure out a way to get this guy. Like when you were talking about a few weeks ago how badly you wanted Chris Jones, my big rebuttal was we already have somebody that's a solid player right there. But our secondary, who's going to be a leader in the secondary? Like, it sucked. Like, the whole room, Roger McCreary, was it just going to be him? So they went out and they addressed that. I still think we have, like, a middle linebacker spot that needs it the same way. But he's such a good player. Like, of course I'm going to take a risk on his injury issue. Like, absolutely. He's better than Malcolm Butler is, and we paid Malcolm Butler a truckload of money. So I think it's a great signing. And honestly, I think it's laughable at this point, the people who are trying to poke holes in it.
Thank you for your call, Adam.
Thank you. Well, I'm
poking holes in it. I don't think anybody would consider me
a hater. By Adam
Sanders. Yeah,
hater.
I'm just pointing out that he's going to have to be really good. I'm not disagreeing with the move. I'm surprised that they make a move now when they have the opportunity for a year to sort of go in an exploratory direction here. I guess they figure this is an opportunity that they may not get down the road, and they see him as a guy that can be a part of the next three or four teams. And if that's the way they're looking at it, okay. But he better be good for a long time. And I also would do this. Speaking of the structure of the contract and the guaranteed money and stuff, I think I would like to try to front load it, pay as much of the credit card bill now, and leave myself some flexibility down the road.
Right.
Because this is what we hit on last week that I think is the biggest thing with their roster. They don't have a lot of guys right now on their roster that they drafted, and they're like, I'm signing that guy to the next contract.
Totally.
That's a guy we need to keep. That's probably why they're figuring we can do this on Sneed, because are you going to re-sign Chigakonkwo to the next deal? I don't know. Maybe. You hope.
And you've got a quarterback on Burks. A rookie deal.
You got a quarterback on a rookie deal, yeah. And so, yeah, you want to try to take advantage of that as much as you can. But the three drafts that were fairly empty are costing them big time right now. That's why the cake doesn't have much foundation to it. And that's why I'm worried about putting too much icing on top. The whole thing is just it's not a workable cake. It's going to collapse. You ever have a cake with that's too much icing and you're just like,
I love cake icing. With a lot of icing.
Too much icing.
I like cake.
But there's a point where it goes too far. I like icing.
Yeah, I love
Everybody
icing.
Everybody likes icing, exactly. But too much icing is not good.
Well, you
got to have the balance.
Your jaws just
the cake,
lock up.
The cake and the, cake and the icing have to mix together, right?
You're
there's
right.
a blend.
It's got to be a balance.
Yeah. It's
there's
like
never a balance.
Peanut butter and jelly. You gotta,
there's never
you
a balance with cake and icing. There's never a balance. There's always more cake than there is icing.
Right. That's my point. They have it reversed. There's too much icing. The icing is
They don't have any icing, Willie. They barely got how much icing did they got? L'Jarius Sneed.
Calvin Ridley.
They got Calvin Ridley.
Cushenberry.
Don't say Sadiq Charles, Willie.
Yeah.
Don't Cushenberry. You dare say Sadiq Charles is icing.
Chidobe, you want to say Chidobe Awuzie?
Totally.
Absolutely.
Okay.
To me, the free agents and your pickups, your moves like that, are the icing. The foundation of your team.
They ain't even got the icing
has
then.
To be the draft
they barely got icing
they got,
then.
They don't even have a kickstand.
They barely got icing right now. If you only count those four people, they barely got icing. Because they got the whole side of the cake that they need to worry about putting icing on.
I'm still worried about the cake. I guess they figure there's nothing they can do about it. They're not going to magically have these guys be different people, right? They have to hope they develop some of these guys.
But we don't know
that have been there. That have been on the roster.
We don't know if the cake is firm enough. Why? Because the cake is Will Levis. That's who the cake is. Yeah. Nobody else really matters right now.
Yeah.
If you hit on a quarterback, if he turns out to be more than what they thought, that's your cake, and everything else around it is your icing or your fruit, whatever you want to put in. Will Levis is the cake.
Fruit
that's
on
why
cake. I'm not a big guy.
I'm not a big guy either. But that's why there's a lot of, you know, even with the moves that they've made, the odds of them winning the South or winning the Super Bowl, they're basically the same. Why? Because nobody knows about the quarterback.
Yeah, and how do you find out about the quarterback? You put pieces around the quarterback to make the quarterback successful. Mm-hmm. And if you put pieces around the quarterback and invest around the quarterback and the quarterback still isn't the answer, you scrap it. You move on. You find another one.
I just worry that Snead, he's a lot of icing. He himself is a lot of icing. It's not the number of people. It's the dollars for Snead in particular. Is he more of a one-year wonder? Is he really one of the best cornerbacks in the league? Will be for the next few years? Or is he a guy that's seizing the moment, having a big career year on a great team? You have a lot of new variables coming here for that kind of money.
As far as the Titans are concerned, they better hope it's not a one-year wonder. And I don't think that they would guarantee $55 million over the next 4 years if they thought that it was just kind of a one-year kind of deal. But that time will tell. And now that's on Denard Wilson. Now that's on this coaching staff. Because you got Jadobi Awuzie, L'Jarius Sneed, and two corners that are experienced players at those positions in this league. There's no longer the excuse of, well, is this player going to work out? Is Caleb Farley ever going to come to fruition? None of that. You got proven players. You got proven veterans. Now it's up to the coaching staff. But I want to get into your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction, your initial thoughts on the Titans trading for L'Jarius Sneed. We'll get into that coming up next. TD at 1 p.m. Tune in to 1025 and 106.3 The Game this week for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today at toyota.com.